Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, May 23rd, 2019. It's 9 o'clock a.m. We're gathered for the County Administrative Workshop in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. We have all three commissioners present. We have a couple electeds in the audience today. The first item on our agenda is the public safety radio console replacement. I know that that's involving IT, facilities, sheriff, and I don't know, Arthur, maybe?
That would explain some of these people.
So that's first up on our agenda. Whoever needs to come up should probably come up.
It's okay. You guys are, boy, you're so scared and after.
Only that one
need
bites.
More coffee.
Wow.
Madam Chairman, I need to announce that I will be leaving at about 20 minutes after I have an appointment this morning. It's on day.
Okay.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
Just by way of introduction, IT's involvement is in the fact that the city police are moving out of the Justice Building. They're moving their 911 center, their PSAP, across the street. And right now we have a connection to Sheriff's Dispatch down the hall. So we're going to have to make some kind of accommodation so that we can still connect to 911 and to the Gocerco 911 recorder. We've been attempting to have the ability for dispatchers, the sheriff's dispatchers, to be in the same room in the new facility. And one of the considerations is going to be the radio that the dispatchers will use. We have a single Gold Elite that I believe is 2 years beyond end of life, which means there's no warranty. There is parts are basically available on places like eBay. You would have to get parts. And because we have a single point radio there, if it went down, we wouldn't have radio communications from dispatch. So Ryan, being in charge of radios, got a bid to replace them, and that's why we're presenting this today.
Do we still have, you say we don't have connection, we wouldn't have connection to 911?
We will have connection to 911.
Okay. IT's involvement is making sure that we have the link between wherever Sheriff's Dispatch is and that center. Right now it's down the hall to an equipment room, but with the police department moving out,
we have to make a connection to
Yes, and so in the process we asked. So last year the board said to me, they delegated me to make sure that with the police moving out, we don't lose the process or lose any function. I'm also the liaison to the 911 board. In December, the 911 board announced that they had a power outage one day and they lost two consoles of the same equipment that we have the sheriff's office on. And in order to get those back up and running, they were able to get partial pieces from Brookings Police and then on eBay, old computer equipment, to try to put those two consoles together. And I was asking the question of what's happening with the sheriff's consoles that are the same lifeline and all that kind of stuff. Is anybody looking into, with this move, that they're past end of life? And when you have to go to eBay to get parts, not there. So IT is the connection to the dispatch, so the sheriff, when those calls are forwarded, the information gets to him. And it was these guys were working with the sheriff to determine if he's staying put in the building or moving, so that's part of the question. But the radios themselves are past end of life, and that's where Ryan comes in, of getting bids for upgraded radios that are
hybrid. The equipment is our responsibility, but is there any responsibility from the city on that move, that they decided to move over there and that they need to make sure our connection gets over to that building? The radio side of it, I understand. That's ours. That's equipment.
The 911 center, the city has the contract for the primary PSAP, which is the public safety answering point. Every county has one primary, and that's where 911 goes. They can transfer calls to secondary PSAPs, which state police is a secondary PSAP. Our sheriff's office is a secondary. But it's up to those PSAPs to keep their equipment going because only the primary is supported by the state.
Well, is the city or is the 911 agency offering to include the sheriff's dispatch in that same public safety building over there?
Yes, I've reached out to them. Move.
That seems to make the most sense.
It does. That move is still in negotiation process. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be visiting the building after the meeting here today. It does, and that's really in law enforcement across the country. That collaboration and that consolidation, more than anything, is really a large movement across the nation. I've talked to them about their CAD system, their report writing system, and our report writing system. Our databases are different. This is just a first step in the process of us really trying to consolidate all of those things. So when they're out contacting an individual in the city, and we're out contacting somebody in Illinois Valley or Wolf Creek, all of that data goes into the same system. But this is so this is just an initial step to start working towards that consolidation.
Okay.
We used to have it. We were all on the council when Laura Zeliff came and presented that the city wanted to go to a new dispatch center. And I raised the question. I said, your current CAD system includes 911, sheriff, and city, and they all are on the same system and communicate. Is it going to be that way when you go to this one and the sheriff goes to that one? Oh, yeah, there's a bridge that'll connect them, no problem. Well, they didn't say that every update that computer system gets would be extra money on the sheriff's office, so it meant that they've been on separate systems ever since, not sharing information. But that's separate. Today, we're just talking about the actual physical equipment for the radios.
Right, and it'll depend on what way we go on what upgrades we do and what connections we do. We ideally would upgrade our equipment and then create a microwave link between their building and our building, because the equipment the sheriff is running, antiquated, is also used by parks, public works, corrections.
Copeland.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're Rogue Valley Heating.
Yeah, so there's multiple users. We also transmit to Ivy Fire. So I would recommend, plus for service, that the equipment stays in our building, and then we create a link between the city's new building and our building and upgrade the equipment, no matter where they're sitting. If they're sitting across the street, that's fine. Either way, we need to upgrade the equipment.
There's another piece to the city is moving out of our building because they say it's not seismically sound, and that's...
And they deserve to have their own building.
Okay. I mean, whoever, you know, got us there back when they created the Justice Building in the first place.
But that ship has sailed, so...
Not my point in saying it. Their point is that the essential functions of the radio stuff that's sitting on top of a building that is due to collapse in a seismic situation means that we wouldn't have radio connection if that building were to collapse. And so they are separately looking for a different connection, not to microwave back to our building and go out to Illinois Valley. They're looking for creating a different loop. And I would recommend that not only do we look at having the connection to the microwave so we can keep the current system intact, but look to see if we can have a backup that's utilizing their system if ever our system went down.
Well, our mountaintops are totally separate from their system, so there's no way they're going to get to Illinois Valley unless they go wireline or fiber or something like that.
The only way they can dispatch is through our system. In the event of a seismic event that knocks this whole building down.
Exactly.
I think either way we should be looking at, and there was a radio assessment done that Chief Hoke has been asking us to look at countywide, because all of the radios are past their life in the towers and all that need keep as well. And sadly, Jackson County is looking at either $23 million or $28 million bond just for their radio towers.
Wow.
And they have one system that everybody contracts with one agency for radio. None of them have their individual separate ones. But nonetheless, today, so when I learned about the radio equipment, I had gone to Arthur and I said, we need to make sure we're setting aside some SRS money for this big purchase, because it's not something that's in the equipment replacement fund. It's not something that's somewhere else. And if 911 that is on the same equipment, a simple power outage caused two consoles to go out, what would happen to the equipment in the sheriff's office? So I said, just set aside some money so that we make sure that when we have to replace it, we can replace it. The timing is, that with them moving out, we're doing other stuff anyhow. But we are, I heard it was 6 years past life. If it's only two, but hey.
Yeah. Yeah, it's past his life. Regardless, eBay is a pretty good analogy. I think we move forward on upgrading the equipment regardless of where they're sitting and dispatching from. I think we make that step.
Yeah, that's the sheriff's decision is where he has his dispatch located.
Whatever is here at the time that the ball drops on the state saying it's your turn to get a new courthouse, they'll take all that into consideration where it is.
Mm-mm.
No?
The courthouse won't have, they won't fund, with the courthouse replacement, it doesn't fund anything but the court system upstairs. It doesn't take all the county.
So they're gonna. So at the time for this courthouse to be either they could theoretically go build another courthouse somewhere else.
And then we would have the top floor to ourselves.
We'd have the top floor, or they would just go out somewhere in the valley and suspend the second floor up there full of courtrooms.
No, Jackson County did that. They built a new court facility, and the old courthouse is where the county offices are across the street.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
So, as far as where we are today, I know you had a bid. Has the sheriff weighed in on the bid? Does that meet his needs?
I'm not comfortable with the current bid. I know where it should be, but it's missing a few pieces. We have a ballpark, is what we have. We would need to nail it down. Because basically, these consoles, this bid for these two consoles, does not include the backbone or mothership that resides in the room over in the Justice Building. So you have some additional costs.
So what's your ballpark?
$250,000.
Okay. So
$300,000 is probably what we're looking at. And then
I guess I'm wondering why we don't have that, because a couple months ago we said we need to make sure that we have the bids for all this ready. So if it was coming to us today on an admin.
Well, we got this bid about, I'm guessing, first pass was end of February.
Okay.
But dealing with Motorola, we're a very small fish, and trying to get them to respond is difficult at best. So we're nipping at their heels, trying to get upgraded information. We've got verbals, but we can't hold them to verbals.
Well, if the sheriff decides to move, it doesn't make sense to take the old equipment and go install it over there.
And I would recommend we don't install anything over there other than the actual consoles. And they'll be communicating back to our building, which will go out to the mountaintops. And we'll do that through a microwave link.
As long as there's not a delay in his services because of the link.
No. And I would recommend we do that with a microwave link so there's redundancy for failure. We can also create, have some copper lines through the phone system. We definitely always want to build in redundancy so there's zero chance of failure for dispatch. Well, there's never zero, but as close as possible.
So, is there anything for us to weigh in on today? I guess...
I just say move forward on it.
Something we've
got to do.
Whatever we have to do to get it done so they don't lose connection and one power outage doesn't wipe out his entire radio system.
Well, we need to know before we can finalize the process and the bid is where he's going to live. Where are they going to sit these consoles?
Well, that's between you guys
right.
to decide.
And
that.
Then we can bring back a total bid and a not-to-exceed price to the board.
Okay. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
See you soon.
Yeah.
Cool, thank you.
All right.
Up next is item 2A, amendment to resolution 2019-014 in the matter of participating in the county assessment function funding assessment CAFA grant. Did we break the CAFA grant already?
I think they have new people looking at it and they get questions, and so we have to respond at the state level. So Chris will explain what's going on.
Good morning.
Good morning. Just for sake of the recorder introductions, please.
Connie Roach, Josephine County Assessor.
Chris.
Wait, you got to get the flair down that she adds to.
The hand motion that goes with it.
Oh, it was awesome. Sorry.
Chris, you want to introduce yourself, please?
Chris Martin, Chief Deputy Assessor.
Very professional.
Yes, thank you.
Chris wasn't any less professional.
We
just had fun.
So,
okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, this is a relatively minor bookkeeping change. What it is when we submitted our CAFA grant, and it was under review by the state of Oregon, as they do every year. They discovered that $53,000 that we are spending out of our ORMAP grant, which is being funded completely by the state from a different, from a separate grant, wasn't included in my submission. So what that means for, what does that mean to us? It means it's a budget neutral situation, and we're not expending any more than we agreed to in our submitted budget, or less. It's just an issue of DOR was actually, to their credit, saying, hey, we'll actually pay CAFA funds towards your ORMAP grant funds. So we're paying on it. We'll pay on it twice, basically, is what they're saying. So we're getting the contract with Peter Allen for the ORMAP control points. That's all being paid out of 100%, or nearly 100%, out of the ORMAP grant. That $53,000 expenditure can also be submitted as CAFA eligible expenditures, and therefore offset by CAFA grant funds also.
So you're saying this $58,989, mm-hmm. they're willing to give you an additional amount.
So what it means to you is, the worst case scenario is, if we don't sign this before June 1st, we lose out on approximately $9,000 in additional CAFA grant.
So it's only a $9,000 increase.
That's what we would get in additional CAFA grant funding.
Okay.
Yeah. So you see what's happening there. They said, hey, you actually could include that in your submission.
Could have included something we didn't include
in
there.
Exactly.
Their correction is in our favor.
Exactly right.
All you
got
to do is just do this, and we'll throw in it again.
Exactly right.
Well, that was awful nice. So
I'm just wondering, with it being a $10,000 threshold, could we, since it's an amendment to a previously approved contract, could we not make a motion that just the liaison sign? Or, yeah, so I don't even know that it has to go to next week.
Well, does it have to be a resolution?
Why would it have to be a resolution?
Because that's one of the requirements of the grant.
Oh, okay.
Well, if it's required.
But it looks up there, it's just an amendment to resolution. We already have the resolution of 2019-014.
Yeah.
So it's an amendment to that resolution. Did that require a full resolution?
We're in somewhat uncharted waters. I don't normally do
that. Just to be safer, might as well.
How about this? If there was any chance of us not getting it signed at next week's meeting, then maybe we just have a liaison sign, if there's a chance of that all happening. But otherwise,
all right. I would just recommend, Nicole, that it be moved to the consent calendar. It doesn't need to go to admin. We'll just leave it on the consent calendar, and then it'll be taken care of on the consent agenda.
I don't think anybody can stand up and say, we don't want it.
Yeah, keep your mind.
Do not do
I'm
this.
I'm sorry, you cannot do that, yes.
Yeah. Just the real critical part for us is the timing, because we're coming down to crunch time. And if we don't get it in by...
Let's do it.
Just get it. I'm for that.
The easiest would be just so that we make sure we don't cut you shy. If you need a resolution, to the consent calendar. We'll just have one of us say that it's just an amendment to the original.
Perfect.
If we even need to say that.
Okay.
I think you can make a motion today and then collect it and put it in the city file if you get done this week.
Do we do resolutions outside of the weekly business session, though? That's my only question.
Or amendments to resolutions, right?
Yeah.
There's a line in there. Wally?
You know what?
I've only done one.
If it's not going to harm you guys to wait till next week, then let's just make sure that we do it to the fullest consent calendar, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, it's only happened once before, and that's what happened was they actually just put it on the consent calendar and did an amended resolution signed by all three commissioners, and that was happy.
If you needed it urgently, we'd find a way to do it, but if not, it doesn't hurt to do on the consent calendar.
Perfect.
Thank you. Up next is Department of Business. We have HR request for evaluation form change, and then an ADA position description. We'll follow with juvenile and then airports and community development. We're having quite a day.
All right. Good morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
So I guess what I have first is J.J. Schofield, HR Director, is an update to the evaluation form. Basically, what I'd like to do is simplify the form we used when we were evaluating line staff. I know there was discussion on Tuesday about changing the structure for evaluating directors. This is a completely separate discussion today. This is just a simplification of an existing form. Most forms don't come to the commissioners for review, but being that it's an evaluation, I thought it would behoove us to do so. I also have a little one paper that just spells out the, you know, what's being simplified. I did bring this to the department managers at the last department manager meeting, and they were overwhelmingly in support.
Can I push the pause button real quick, like, because I have to get going? And I apologize, but I'm looking down at airports, and I know that Larry is not going to be here today.
We got an email from Larry. I don't know. Did
right.
you see
yeah,
that
Yeah, I didn't read
so
that.
This task order is fairly self-explanatory.
No problem moving it forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
His email
that's
justified.
All
yeah.
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 So
you've
you
defended
don't mind,
your
I
airport.
Yeah.
I do.
I know
I
yours is going to be a little
though,
bit of a deal.
Do you have an opinion on us partnering with Curry County for building safety services?
I didn't look at that very carefully. I don't.
Can that wait a week?
Can that part of it wait a week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would recommend we do that then,
so
you can be a part of that conversation.
But this task order, I think.
Unless you want to see if Mark can come meet with you individually one-on-one later. I haven't looked at it yet either. This is my first introduction to really the information in it.
Right.
Are they in a rush over there?
So do you prefer us to wait till next Thursday or have Darren and I meet with you right now and you follow up with Dan to see if...
Well, if I could meet with you right now, I think that would be helpful. And on your way out, I can just give you this. This is a copy of it.
Okay, well, then you just give me that. I can leave, and then you can get back to the meeting. And
so are we asking that it go to the weekly business session next week?
Yes.
So I want to make sure that Dan has time to...
And I apologize, but...
No, you got to take care of that. So, okay, we...
I can just clarify, so we'll just take it out next week then? Or do you want me to take it out today?
Still present today.
With it being Boatneck weekend and Monday a holiday, do you have the time to evaluate that? That we would have to be able to put the pause on it by Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. to get it off the agenda for Wednesday?
Yeah, I think that'd be fine.
Okay.
I'll look at it over the weekend. That's not a problem. I've got...
Okay.
Because other than the first 2 days, the first two or 3 days...
If not, we can wait till next Thursday and all of us talk about it together.
If Thursday's fine, I think it'd be a good conversation.
Okay.
Let's
yeah.
go to next Thursday.
I don't want to rush through it.
Okay. But you also have those paperwork now, so you can have the time to look through it before next Thursday.
I apologize for not being there for your exciting presentation.
I assume you're okay with that one, too. But.
Yeah, sounds good. We're clearing the room, man.
All right.
Well, for your review.
My evaluations are boring, but holy cow.
Okay.
Yeah, you just got stepped all over, didn't you?
It's all good.
I didn't mean to run you out of the room.
No, it's totally fine.
Okay. Oh, gosh, should we just go?
It's getting pretty thin around here.
All right, so you are looking at simplifying the evaluation from more categories to less categories.
Yeah, some of the categories, for example, quality of work, quantity of work, dependability, which is primarily attendance, can all be encapsulated in one broader category called accountability. And then adaptability is your willingness to change. Initiative is your willingness to initiate change. Those can be one category.
All right, so I've used this evaluation for years as an employee. And my frustrations with it are the description in the middle and finding that part. I'll give you an example, just the first one, job knowledge. Needs improvement says they often ask supervisor or others how to do simple tasks. That's just, if to me, that's more than needs improvement. If you have to ask on simple tasks on over and over again, that's not needs improvement. But then competent is good knowledge of job, seldom asked help from others. There are some departments that require you to work with other people and asking help from other people, and it shouldn't be docked against you that if you seldom ask for help from others, when we want to actually encourage, you know what, we want the team approach, and if you're asking help from others, it almost looks like you're not competent. So it forces you, if you're asking help from others, for instance, at Community Corrections, you're not allowed to make an arrest by yourself. You have to ask for help from others. So in the training of the supervisors in this evaluation, are you training to the level of saying, that's not what I'm talking about, when the job requires you to work in a team setting, that it doesn't count against you? Your job knowledge isn't based on, I have to have you stand by as we put these handcuffs on. But to go from competent to, you're almost there, but to me, having to ask others how to do simple tasks is not needs improvement. That's almost unsatisfactory if you're not getting simple tasks down. That, so to go from simple tasks to not asking for help, there's not an in-between. And there's a few of these categories that the one to the next don't quite, you want one in-between, or they don't quite...
Well, it is tough because when you have a standardized evaluation form, the examples you give are inherently generic, and they would be, like if I was in public works, and I want this just for public works, what I would put in each box is different than if they were in community corrections, which is different. So they are inherently generic. Most evaluations, one of the weaknesses of evaluations in general, is the scoring can be arbitrary from manager to manager to manager.
Yeah.
And so part of the thought process with this structure is, one, we do evaluation training, which is one of the reasons we implemented manager training program, so they understand how does evaluation work, what is a 3 versus a 2 versus a 4, and then by putting some quantified examples, I mean, again, they are just examples, but they limit the arbitrary nature of evaluation.
Well, I'm going to take you a little further because to see the answer, because I don't know how much you've looked at reevaluating the squares inside the
details. I did change a number of them since the last one we had.
Because just on job knowledge, if you look at unsatisfactory, can't do easy parts of the job without asking a supervisor or other workers for help. Compared to needs improvement, often has to ask supervisor or others how to do simple tasks. How are those different?
Well, one is often and the other is can't. So this one is they don't know their job, they can't do their job well. This one is they struggle with their job.
I just think that I remember when I was going through these evaluations, they're not so intuitive that you read them and you're clear which category you're going to go to. Because it's like, is it this one or is it this one? And I'm just looking at one line of them. But I remember that was one of my frustrations all the way through it. Some of them are very much more clear. But there's several that I don't know where the foundation of this came from. But to me, can't do easy parts of the job without asking for help or workers versus you often ask help of simple tasks. And then it goes straight to you seldom ask help from others. Is that, and for instance, on Monday, the Public Works did a training, and part of it was in looking at safety and the hindsight of what did we learn from those events is there often is a culture of, oh, don't bring it up so I don't get in trouble. That might relate in this reporting or it might relate in this. Instead of creating a culture of, hey, something feels off here, I need to bring this to somebody's attention, and it saves a life, or it makes you learn from the process because it's not about, and I guess for me, I want to make sure that the process of evaluating is also a process of learning and a process of, in all of law enforcement, before you ever get to this evaluation, you have daily evaluations, part of your DPSST process, whether you're a dispatcher, whether you're a corrections, a PO, or any of that, they have these field training evaluation forms that you have a daily evaluation. And you're not ever to the 3, which is the middle line, until you've mastered and you can be cleared on that job if you've done that thing on your own. You're actually, when you start somebody, you're going to find that they're mostly in 1s and 2s. And then they work up towards the end of their field training that they're getting towards that 3. They're rarely going to have a 4 or 5. What I've learned with some of the department heads as well is some of them will mark themselves all as 5s. And that says they've completely exceptionalized every single area in that category. They have no room for improvement whatsoever. And I don't think any of us are without need of improvement.
I would agree with that. I would agree. Straight 5s is... I have found in order to get a 5 in one category, often you will neglect another category.
Absolutely. So to me, you've heard me express my frustration over these forms before. It's not surprising to you that this is why I wanted to be a part of the conversation when it came up. Because of the 3 commissioners, I'm the one who's actually use these on both sides, the supervisor evaluation and the employee evaluation. And I always felt that there were enough questions within them. And I don't know if the other department heads feel the same when they're evaluating their employees, but they look at them going, gosh, this one's just frustrating. I wish these wordings were more straightforward of the categories, you know, that kind of thing. Or I need something between. They're almost there, but they're not this bad, but they're not this good, you know, that kind of thing. But if you have someone getting unsatisfactory,
I would say what you're saying is both accurate and reading deeper than most people look.
Why aren't they looking that deep?
I had many conversations with one of the employees that used to be in my office who was an amazing, excellent employee. I loved her to death. She was great. But she overthought a lot of things.
Yeah.
And
it could go back to, I was trying to be a field training officer, where you are literally evaluating everything that person does on a daily basis, and you're doing daily observation evaluations. And we got extensive training. We got a full 40-hour training on just doing those daily observations. Yeah. And that's probably why I
evaluate.
Yeah. I mean, as a general rule, a three means you're doing a good job. You're where we want you to be. You know, a two means you're not quite where we want you. You have room for improvement. A one means you are terrible.
Well, they should be not working there if they're in ones, honestly.
Well, it depends on the specific category, but often, yeah. And then a four means you're overperforming as far as you're doing more than I expect, and five means you're one of our absolute best in that category. And that's a typical bell curve. Most employees should be a three in most categories based on a standard.
Well, in my
you'd hope for threes and fours, and you'd have a couple of fives.
Well, and think
yeah, a few people are going to make it.
Think about the cycle of employees. We have in most of our positions a starting position, a mid-level position, and a higher-level position. We have a lot of ones, twos, and threes in positions. We looked at it with group life coordinators the other day in our amendment you presented. Sure. There's one, twos, and threes, and then a lead. There's tiers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to grade a basic differently than I'm going to grade in advance. My expectation for a basic person's competency at a beginning level, when they meet a beginning level competency versus you've been here for 15 years, my expectation of you is way higher than someone who's been here for 6 months.
So to move this forward, what I would recommend is either say we're okay with this or let's get a group of people together to clarify what some of the examples are. I'm fine if you would like us me to do that.
The edits you've made as far as the horizontal consolidation, I think is great. That makes sense. You don't need 13. Matter of fact, it forced us into an 8x14 form to get it printed on one form.
I actually finagled quite a bit with the formatting to get it to this size.
Yeah. So to get it to the level that you can print it on one page versus having to go to a paper that nobody stocks anymore.
I agree.
That is great. I would ask that, I mean, have you taken it to the manager and saying, have you guys looked at the details between unsatisfactory to outstanding? Is there any of these categories that are catches with you guys that repeatedly you find it don't meet my needs? I mean, we'll work with what's there because that's what we do. But it might be worth saying, is there any ones here that feel like you'd like them tweaked a little bit and maybe see if there could
I'll send some stuff out. I will coordinate with some of our other department managers, see what they think, see if they'd like to, you know. The vast majority have not brought that up. That doesn't mean they don't have some like, well, you know, this person's this. They may feel that, but they just haven't brought it up because. And part of it is the history is what we used to use before this.
Oh, I remember that too.
Horrible.
It was like 15 pages of essay writing.
It was bad. So they're like, "Ooh, I like easy, and this is much easier." Which is why
we're not the first organization in the world to make evaluations.
Now, before I brought this,
and
before I brought this to the board, I looked at 12 different counties. I looked at what their evaluations were for managers and line staff. And the more I looked at it, the more I liked this, actually, because more agencies have moved to more complex instead of less complex. And I'm not really a fan of that, but I have no problem. I'll tinker with this. I'll work with the department managers to see what they think, and I'll bring it back to the board when it's ready.
Sounds good.
Moving on.
Thanks for reevaluating this.
No problem at all.
It's a good thing. And
This is better than it was, but it can still be better yet.
Sure, and it's not that it's horrible. I just...
It can use a little tinkering. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
Yep. No problem at all.
So the ADA position, we flew the position, we changed which department it's in, and now are we flying it again?
So I haven't posted it yet because I need to approve the new job description. So what's important to me is that, you know, the ADA is our current focus, but that's going to be part of the job. The other part of the job needs to have value to the county, and the original job description was in facilities, so the other half was administrative function within facilities. Well, it's no longer facilities, so that part of the job needed to change. So I wrote a job description that that part, extra part of the job, will work within human resources and be an effective, long-standing value to the county.
So you're looking at moving the risk management program under this person as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
what, do we have a safety committee?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who does that?
Currently, it is someone in my office who's always on it, and then I'm on it sporadically to address certain issues.
Is that something this person
could
help with, maybe not be in charge of?
Well, probably this person would probably not initially, because they're going to focus a lot on ADA initially, but in the next year to year and a half, this person will probably take over that function, and that would allow who's currently do it to expand her services in some other areas.
Sounds good.
You know, if you ever need a volunteer for the commissioner's office, I think that Commissioner Fowler would be really
subject matter expert. Yeah, there you go. He loves it.
Right.
And I don't think you guys have enough meetings.
Here.
Definitely not enough
no,
meetings.
No, I'm just teasing. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I don't have a problem with moving this forward.
Nope. Looks good. Thanks for doing it twice.
No problem at all. I will get this posted this week and we'll move forward.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Jim, you're up. Next up is item 3B, Juvenile Justice IGA 14199 between Josephine County and the Oregon Youth Authority to provide behavior rehabilitation services and placement-related activities to OIA. Behavior, what's BRS stand for?
Behavioral Rehabilitative Services.
There you go. Clients residing in the county's Turning Point Residential Program.
All right.
It's all you.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jim Goodwin, Juvenile Department Director. This is actually very simple, and it relates to actually our biggest revenue source. The bienniums get really busy because we renew just about everything that we have with the state. In our residential treatment center, we contract both with the Oregon Youth Authority and with the Department of Human Services. The treatment part of the residential treatment is this BRS model that our staff are trained, and it involves individual and group counseling for the kids that are with us. And if we provide that service, the state, if you will look at page 5, I believe, pays us a daily bed rate for this biennium. You can see the bottom line amount there, $522,583.29. That's roughly $217 per youth per day. Of the youth attached to this state agency, Oregon Youth Authority, that we have with us. So this is just a renewal. Really, it allows us to accept the money, and I would graciously ask for the permission to do so.
Is it considered an all-new contract? This is one of those areas that we've talked about the process of, yes, it needs to go before the weekly business session, but
it's an ongoing known.
And it hasn't gone through 20 steps to get to here, because...
No, it has been approved to form by legal.
Yeah.
I always do
and,
that
But you didn't have to go to finance and all this other kind of stuff.
No.
You didn't with me.
In fact, our budget is based on this amount of money from both agencies, and so... it is, but because it's, well, as you can see, it's 200 and whatever thousand per year, it's well above the...
I'm just saying, I think it can go to consent calendar, because it's budgeted, it's a renewal versus a,
And no super major changes, so
no.
Just some amounts.
And like I said, approved by legal, it's basically exactly the same as it was in the last biennium. You'll see one similar to this whenever they get it to us from Department of Human Services. We'll run through the same process there. And then a couple of other smaller ones that are still lagging. They're all income positive.
Nicole, it looks like this is one you'll need to flag to have one signature approved on the order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if you can mark it when it goes to the weekly business, that the motion needs to say... allow liaison to sign or chair to sign, whichever it needs to be. In this case, they're the same person, but it...
But just one signature line, you're right.
Okay.
On this idea.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Great.
So this is one that I think what we would talk about if... And we talked about putting a group together when we get our new office manager in place, but this is one that might be a good one for you to say, I'd like to be a part of talking about that process.
I would love to.
And so something that's pre-budgeted, not just budgeted, but has been in place for a while and is kind of foundational too, because I've made the point that our budgets don't go in detail. It doesn't show us any difference.
Correct.
It's just a total changes. We don't know the details. But this is foundational of that maybe this doesn't have to come to admin. Maybe right. When we get the renewal, it just goes to weekly business session. But make recommendations in the process of...
Exactly right. For our department specifically, I believe this is one of seven of these that are ongoing.
That's 7 hours so, we got you here.
Exactly. Yeah. The older process, it would be admin, legal, then admin, run it by finance if necessary. Weekly business.
Don't forget you're supposed to go by your liaison first.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Simon's question to every person that comes is, have you talked to your liaison first? Have you talked to your liaison first? So
So that would be, I would be love to be a part of that.
You're one of the people that I've thought of that would love to volunteer for that.
Help champion the change.
Yes.
Yeah. How, what steps can be made easier before we get to weekly business session? Mm-hmm. So, cool. Thank you.
Great. So, consent item, I don't need to be there.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. The next item is Airports Task Order Number 5 between Josephine County Airports Precision Approach Engineering for Illinois Valley Airport Runway 18-36 Rehabilitation and End-of-Line Taxiway Removal Phase 1. Last night, each of the commissioners got an email from Larry Graves, our director, apologizing that he was not going to be able to be here this morning, but giving a summary of this project so that we had the ability to look at it this morning, and he asked that we would approve it moving forward. I am trying to see if I can find that email for the sake of just including it in the record, the portions of... Here we go. Airport Department has an agenda item for Thursday admin workshop called Task Order 5 with Precision Approach Engineering. We anticipate receiving an FAA grant shortly for an environmental determination and 30% engineering design for a complete runway rehab at the Illinois Valley Airport. This project is valued at $541,000, of which the FAA will provide to Josephine County 90%. We've also received a CORE grant from the state of Oregon for $30,000 towards our 10% match requirement of $54,100. PAE will perform... and that's Precision Approach Engineering, will perform all of the services on the task order for $541,000, and Josephine County's obligation will be approximately $24,000, which we have requested and budgeted for from economic development monies. Is it true that there is money in that account that could cover this, Arthur?
Yeah, there is quite a bit in economic development, yes.
Okay. So if you don't have an objection to moving it forward to the weekly business session.
I do not.
I don't either. Does this have to be on, can it go consent, or does it go further?
Well, it's brand new. It's something different.
So is this portion that we're just asking, let's see, task order, so we're approving the tax order, we're not approving the economic development expenditures right now.
That's okay.
Why don't we just do them all at once?
Why not add them in there?
I don't know. Curious, can we make sure that's added to next week? Just put it on the consent and economic development, or do we need to even do that?
No, I don't think you need to. We've already got economic development budgeted to go over to airports. So
okay.
Okay.
Then it can just move forward. We're good to go.
Done.
It might need to go to admin, Nicole, because we're saying it's new.
Okay.
Okay, the next one was Community Development IGA between Josephine County and Curry County, of which that is getting held off until next. We're going to table that until next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Other business would be anything that needs to come before us right now. Otherwise, we move on to board business.
Not for
commissioners.
Me.
I have one. We got an email.
I have board business, but not other.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go for it.
Matters for commissioners. I went to the Workforce Partnership, a convening of transportation systems for primarily trucking. And it was pretty fun. They got So Ready was there. There was a bunch from RCC, Jackson County Commissioners, and I was there. And really got all the trucking companies in a room and the training schools in the room to say, hey, what do we need to work on? Mm-hmm. Where are the gaps? And it was really fun to watch the facilitator get those somewhat rough and tumble truck drivers get them talking about their businesses. And I thought it was very productive. Unfortunately, something was wrong with the air conditioning, and it sounded like a helicopter was landing on the room the entire meeting. You could barely hear each other. It's like, really? Can you fix that? But
you should come use my office someday and hear the air conditioning.
I heard you've got a little Christmas story battle with a furnace in there or something.
It's pretty fun. About every day of 10 times a day, the system goes on, and anyone in my office usually jumps a couple inches off their chair.
I love it. Well, because that was at 3 to 5, and then came back to the hall for cannabis. The co-op group, I'm not sure their name, Pete Gendron's group.
Okay. So,
of business partners.
Sun-grown growers.
Yeah, Sun-growers Association or something like that, yeah. And I brought Mark Stevenson and Denise with me to that meeting, and they had their lawyer from up north come down and speak on state level issues, and then they had me and Mark and Denise speak on the county where we're at and where we're headed. And one of the main things we identified is that it's hard to get every marijuana grower to come in and grab a compliance certificate, because it's hard to reach and know who, because you can't get the addresses from the state. There's a privacy issue there. So we're trying
to... No, there's not. That got addressed by the state law that local governments are exempt from that HIPAA requirement, and the state is specifically supposed to work with a local government. And if we're getting grief with that, we need to reach out to Carl Wilson's office, who specifically helped get that amended.
Okay, then state info. I'll ask Mark about that.
Okay. So if Oregon Health Authority is saying HIPAA to the local government, they're violating their own law. Because
can we use that to send out a letter? Or
we can get more details, but Carl Wilson's office, when this program was first initiated, they were saying, HIPAA, we can't work with you locally, because we were trying to verify, are they legitimate or they not? Are they legal or they not? And they said, we can't work with you. And the legislator had come back the next session and specifically put something in there that designates a point of contact for each local government that is the approved person to verify that it's a valid grow, that it's registered, and it's not a HIPAA violation. As much as Oregon Health Authority is trying to say it is, there was something put into law by the state for them to work with the local contact.
Well, it certainly seems logical.
Don't bring logic into government.
I know. Sometimes it eventually gets in there. But
if it's changed since then...
No. And like I said, the lawyer didn't have any input on that.
Julie,
maybe he should have known.
You should reach out to Julie Schmelzer, too, because she went through all this and tried to find out lists of who were licensed in the county. And at first, they were giving grief. And and it was like, no, the legislator fixed this fix. You cannot use that HIPAA argument with our point of contact with the county. And the planning department was the point of contact.
That would be extremely helpful, because then we're trying to think of other ways to reach them. You know, I don't know if you go to the supply stores where a lot of their stuff is at and put a display on the counter and put Denise's business card there or what. We're trying to find the best way, because it started now, this spring, the clock ticks, and then if you started your grow in June a few years ago, then you got 1 year from June to sign that compliance certificate or you're out. And so that's what we're up against. We're in that year now.
Why don't we put an ad in the paper?
Right,
or put an ad on the radio.
On the radio.
Illinois Valley paper. the Illinois Valley paper is really good at creating ads, mm-hmm. and we could then, they allow us then take that and give it to the Courier to use it in their ads so they don't have to do the ad design. They're very reasonably priced that you can do a larger ad, even a full page if you needed to get the attention of people.
Yeah.
Because we're the majority of grows.
It's a hard subject to put in a sentence, but uh-huh. I'm sure we could find a way to get the information out there. Because Mark has really set a great tone in that department and at the meeting last night that, hey, we're trying to help you guys succeed in your business venture. We're not trying to kill your future. And so please come in and talk with us. Don't be scared to get in the door and let yourself be known, because we are not going to treat you like a criminal. We're going to treat you like a business.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mark's really set a nice tone on that. I think the meeting last night went very well. And was only contentious once in the middle when Mark Seligman was talking. Which I think everybody else had a very serious mindset that, hey, we want to work on this thing as a business. And it's not like inviting all your pot-smoking friends from high school into a room. We're talking about business people that are relying on this for their income. And so I was glad to see that. We're going to try and set up more meetings with them to keep the conversation going this year. And I appreciate Pete Gendron heading up that, volunteering heading up that group. And he puts a very professional front on that group, which I think is very helpful. And keeps the room in tone and says, no, come on, let's bring it back. So I thought it was a very productive night.
Good. I'm glad.
That's all I have.
I wanted to... Well, Dan's not here. So I'm going to look ahead at next month's calendar, since we only got 1 week left in May. I'm going to move it. So... holiday here at the end of the first week of July. Originally, I was looking at my nephews who were going to come. They usually come for a week or two in the summertime, and that's
right.
My one time a year that they come see us. They were looking here, but they're not coming now.
Camp Morgan, yeah.
Yeah, Grandma right. Camp. And since I don't have kids, I get invited to be part of Grandma Camp.
Right.
But I am looking at potentially taking, as soon as the meeting's over, leaving, and then this week. This is the week that we both leave for NACO.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these 2 weeks is the camp for the foster kids.
Oh, so yeah, you got a busy month.
But I don't want to, I have not committed to that camp yet, because there was less grief last year. There was kind of some grief, but less grief than the previous year. But, you know, I got a lot of pushback when the jail levy was coming to our attention, that I said I wanted the juvenile included. And various people said, don't do that. And it's like, no, I had another person say, you don't even need to fund that department. Mine's more important. And it was like, no, if we're not investing in the youth in our community, we maybe don't need adult systems down the road, because we can invest there. So, and part of that was I had, started volunteering at the camp for the foster kids. And then I've also extended, and they do a mentoring program through the school year, and a Saturday a month where they bring all those kids with mentors together, and they kind of do mini camps on those for a smaller group. So this week is 60 kids that go, and then they do as many that they can get mentors with during the school year. So for me, it's been part of putting my actions to my mouth of supporting the youth in the community by volunteering back with the high-risk mm-hmm. youth. But because last year I did not go to NACO, and NACO is this weekend, so I wanted to bring the attention, because The out-of-state travel's already been approved, but the camp thing would be another week in that same month. So I want to bring it to basically asking permission to go, or if it's something that...
And I would assume, as long as Dan and I are both here, that that is not a big deal to me. And I would... Anybody that wants to challenge you, Lily, on the time that you put into this job, I say bring it. Because I'm seeing how much time this job takes, and it's not sitting in an office all day. But if you're going to go to a conference for 3 days, you just gave up 3 days of your life. Now, maybe the 8 hours that you were in the conference, but here you are stuck in another city. And so, and all the reading that this job requires. That doesn't have to be done sitting in an office. And so I don't think you have to defend yourself.
Well, I want to be intentional that there's not things going behind the scenes, that it's up front and public. I can bring it up later. But it's kind of coming down to the time that they need to be planning on who they're recruiting for.
Right.
And I'm happy to see if there's as many county employees as we could get to volunteer. What would it be if we had the 400 foster kids in camp? Only 60 of them get to go to camp. There's 400 foster kids in Josephine County, and only 60 of them get to go to camp from the ages 6
to 12. Because of staffing?
Staffing's one of it, but it's also, I mean, they've taken over 60 before, but it is, last year they had to turn away some kids because not getting enough volunteers. And they try to have male... counselors to the boys, and with all the counselors, each counselor is assigned 2 kids, and then you have a buddy counselor that's assigned 2 kids, so you have the 2 adults to the 4 kids. No adult is allowed to be alone with kids anywhere, so you always have to have extra adults, because this is part of the accountability of you are never alone with a child, and the child's never alone either. It's just kind of one of those things. But they have backup counselors, so that if that counselor has to do something else, or oftentimes one will skin a knee, you got to take it to the nurses. So you got to take 2 adults there, now you have a kid left. What do you know, and all that. Last year they used women to be the backup counselors for the guys because they didn't have enough male volunteers. Right. And yet the backup counselors help with all the evening putting to bed and showers and getting them in and out. So we couldn't do that. We don't go in the male dorm, but we were the backup. So it was very interesting.
This isn't Rhode Island.
No. We're very careful to protect the youth, to cause no traumatization, and to protect the adults. You know, it's a very intentional thing. But last year I was one of the backup counselors to the boys. And it was, I had snakes put in my face. I had all this. It was interesting. It was pretty special. And I felt privileged that I had that ability to do that. Instead of a tea party with the girls, we did bottle rockets with the guys. And, my car got hit. It was fun. If I could find more volunteers, I would love to do that, because I think the more that we invest back into these kids, seeing somebody love on them and their life, that maybe it won't result in future issues. And
no doubt.
Okay, so that
was... Got to go upstream, as Jim Goodwin was saying.
Yes. We got a few emails this week regarding, apparently the county is a sponsor for the Bloom Festival. And the Bloom Festival facilitator had, there's some pre-recordings that need to be done, that they're having the sponsors kind of speak about the event.
Uh-huh.
And so I asked that they try to coordinate with our staff to get scheduled for next week. And that was just my response, and said, hey, if you come up with a script, then work out with our staff getting it on the schedule, who's going to record those messages, kind of thing. But there's also an opportunity for a sponsored ride one of the mornings.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted to know who we would want to be our recipient of
that. I always think chair first for both of those, so if you're willing.
I've crewed.
You crewed one that I was in one time.
Oh, did I really?
Yeah. Yep.
I was on the crew for the hot air balloon for quite a while.
Yeah,
so.
For Woodhead, right? Yeah, Woodhead.
So I don't need to go up in a balloon. I actually am more satisfied being on the ground helping set it up than going up in a balloon.
Well, if I have to go up in a balloon, I'd love to.
Okay.
You won't have to ask me twice.
All right, I'm going to just let you be it.
I've been on 2 rides before, and each time those memories are solid. That was really fun.
Cool.
Now, in fact, I thought you were there when it was my whole family, and we landed at the fairgrounds and had to lay the basket over because there was like a sudden gust of wind, and so maybe you weren't there.
I wasn't there that one. Yeah, I've been in a balloon that landed and had been turned over, and we went distance. I was down in California, and there was a wind that caught us, and it was pretty cool to put the training to, you grab the inside ropes, you bend your knees, and you just hang on. And we were sideways, hanging on as you're being drugged.
And that's what happened to us. We had them take a picture of us laying down in there. It was really fun.
But one of my last events was the accident with Elvin.
Yeah.
And I was actually at work that morning, and 911 called me and said, "We know you crew for them. There's been an accident." And so I arrived as the helicopter was landing and helped put up the balloon and stuff like that. And so it's kind of... And around that time, I fractured my wrist, so I wasn't able to do, you know, the grounding and stuff. So it was kind of the end of my
end of the season.
Yeah. But somebody I've known since I was 4 years old to see a permanent change in their life because of that. And things happen, but...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All for a reason.
Let's see.
I read a book.
I was trying to... I still need to send out. My first step with a 360 review is I reached out to. So I had been given, Julie Schmelzer had given me a contact list of all these private for contractors that do assessments, evaluations, trainings, all that kind of stuff.
Audits? Not all the way to audits.
No, it was more just like. I'll have to go back and find the list, but it was like from types of different services and different stuff. And in contacting different people about who would be a good one to evaluate what we needed, there was a name that kept coming up. And and so that's who I had reached out to about, and she then explored her network of what would be the best evaluation, came back and said that 360, but she wasn't available. And so she was going to make some recommendations for other people to do it. But enough time is now why she is actually available. And so for the cost of, I'm starting with her. So just as this is the list that I'd gotten John's name from that did our goal setting training from and stuff like that. So the level amounts are at the level that we don't have to. I was also going to reach out to Clackamas County and see who they use because they do this exclusively as well. But it may be a change of a local person versus a Portland person doing the same process and travel and stuff like that. So I just thought I'd let you know where I was at with it. I've already made that contact.
Sounds good, and I'm in agreement.
I did wonder, so the website question came up as far as we got that video pulled from the website. But I have noticed there are different videos that NACO and AOC put out that are informational about county. And I wondered about those going on the website someplace. One of them showed like Western Interstate Region, WIR 2019 accomplishments, and that they got the SRS renewed for 2 years, that they got, you know, some different things like that. Granted, it's the last year of it, but they're, it's not political. It's an association. It's bipartisan.
It comes out neutral.
It does. Well, yeah, Senator Wyden actually does speak in that one, but it was because he was the champion of SRS, and it was the WIR one, and NACO has them too. And I, you know, at some point, we are developing a new website. We are looking at different things, and so it's just kind of a question of.
Well, that seems like good free stuff.
Yeah, but
and benefit from our membership.
Do we just say staff do it? Do we feed them information? Do we put it through the board so everybody weighs in on it? I don't know how that other video ever got in there in the first place. And there was no notes to it, no timing of it, and all that kind of stuff. But and so it made me wonder, what do we do about moving forward? What's the right procedure when we have a threefold board?
Yeah, it seems like we'd want to get maybe even IT to say, hey, I looked at it, this stuff looks good, what do you guys think?
Well, and we have a web facilitator, Jason, but he'll do what he's told. So just want to...
Yeah, but he could bring opportunity too, right? Say, That's the idea, or no?
Oh, he could, yeah.
Yep.
I don't know how much he's been exposed to everything we do yet. Right. So some things we will need to feed.
Sure.
I think it's part of that, but... All right, well, I knew there was something else, but I can't remember.
I was going to ask you about that PUC with the Civic Corp meeting coming down for fire discussions under their fire lines.
Okay.
Or their power lines, excuse me.
So I'm going to a Pacific Power wildfire mitigation meeting tomorrow in Medford.
Is that the one?
That's one of them. I had received that email from 20 different people wanting to make sure I was there, and I got a call from the local Pacific Power one inviting me as well. So I'm going to be at that one. Separately, there's a PUC meeting about, I'm looking ahead in my calendar, because poor Nicole, I sent her like 20 emails a day saying, well, yeah, this took my calendar. And she goes, I don't know how you're going to get there, but sure. let's see. I don't remember where the one was. Here it is. Oregon PUC Wildfire Mitigation and the Electric Utility Sector. It's in Salem on June 18th. I was looking at just going up that morning and doing a meeting and driving back that evening. But if somebody else wants to go, because it was wildfire, I just kind of...
No, I just wanted to make sure you saw it and we're going.
Yes.
Because I think you're definitely the one out in front gathering information. And so might as well keep it all in one book.
Well, and even at the OSU thing I learned that they had the Road Force Restoration Initiative and they got a $6 million grant.
I know, right?
These collaborations that are going on, it's like, who all are they? Where all are they? I don't always...
It seems like the government has splintered into so many veins that you can't find all the things. It's very unnecessarily confusing.
Well, and I reached out to Merv and Elizabeth and Dave Larson, so ODF, BLM, U.S. Forest Service, and I said, I just want to make sure that going in this fire season, our communication channels are open. Could we get together and just check in as we're going and, you know, that we're all on the same page and... we seem to cross paths in different meetings and stuff, but being intentional for the communication has been very interesting. So there is a Governor's Fire Council meeting on June 6th up in Salem I'm not going to go to. So I have been doing the subcommittees that I'm appointed to, which is on suppression, but the big council, I have not been able to do that yet. And I guess I could. It would just mean I'm gone for some other conversations. And that one's... let's see. We have the 4-H Extension Service District on Wednesday afternoon. I would just have to head up to Salem and then to be there by the morning meeting. And I could go. It's just a matter of... mine is every 2 weeks, and then this one is every month, and so it's like three meetings. And I might need to go. I'm going to find out Friday. We actually are hosting the next suppression subcommittee here, and so I'll find out. But I'm trying to attend everything that I possibly can, but I feel like I'm just constantly on the road.
Right. Well, but this is the year. That's
it
where
is.
The heat is.
And this is where I work.
That's a fire joke. That's where that's where the focus is.
Absolutely. So, okay. Just for your heads up, Wyden has a town hall Tuesday. And I was asked to go to that, so I'll be there. It starts at 9:30 on Tuesday morning at the Respice High School.
I think it's Walden. I'm meeting on Monday, Memorial Day.
Really?
Just for coffee. He's... traveling through.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I was glad he reached out.
You know, one time he came through to meet with us all individually and just said, is there anything I could do to be helping you? And one of the topics I'd been hearing about in one of the meetings was the 911 board was talking about how many outages we're having with phones out in the Illinois Valley. And I brought it up to him. And it turned out we were having issues. Well, he pulled together. Then that next March, I was in D.C., he pulled the head of that phone company in and had a meeting for us.
Oh, wow.
And I had our 911 and PD people on the phone, the conference call, but and they have been more responsive. The locals came down from Portland then and kind of touched base and stuff. So
it's always good to see some movement, yeah.
Absolutely. So, all right, well, I don't know if there's anything else, so I won't. The Bloomfest thing, we'll get a response. Nicole, are you able to respond to that? On my new phone issues I'm having, I can't respond to any of the BCC emails like I used to be able to.
Oh, okay.
So it's like I can read them, but I have no ability to respond to the person. And I don't know if you guys get them forwarded or just, yeah.
You want
another one? He checked the BCC inbox and then print stuff for the log if we have to, and we forward stuff. Sometimes, like, you usually read them, but I know you've been having issues, so I forwarded those to you. I don't know if Darren or... I mean, we tend to print things out for Darren and Dan.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
But, yeah, I can reach out to Caleb for scheduling that message.
Okay, and then also let him know Darren's going to go.
Yeah.
There was another... one of the things I need to get on our list of when our office manager gets here, and I needed to pull together Jason Roberts, who's our kind of PIO,
mm-hmm.
and the office manager, the inconsistency of meeting notices and agendas between advisory boards.
Okay.
We had to cancel our Board of Health meeting today because the notification didn't go out within 24 hours. And... is it the departments that are sending them out to the media network, or is it our department sending them out to the media?
Yeah, that should come to one spot and then go.
And there was a disconnect there, which meant it didn't go out at all. And so we had to cancel that today. And there was also an accusation that Fairgrounds didn't send it out, but that was actually the newspaper had the wrong day. And they apologized and said, I'm sorry. And
give our money back?
But I, you know, there are just the efficiencies of some of the processes, and as different media say, okay, I need to make sure this is the contact, how do we get that out to, some of the advisory boards are kind of ran by departments, but there are advisory boards, so
yeah.
Trying this process of looking at it at some point.
Where's that manager list?
Yeah.
We keep finding things to put on that list.
Indeed. So the other thing of, I just wanted to bring up, our staff has arranged for the Wolf Creek meeting. What I had always heard we were doing is having the weekly business session there and then hosting a community barbecue of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Or attending. I thought the Wolf Creek Inn guy was going to host.
And that's kind of the question of what was, because... how do you plan for? There's no advertising. There's been no reach out to say the meeting's there. I kind of feel like we need to do a better job of getting the word out that we're doing there, and how do people in the community even know to come down and buy food at the Wolf Creek Inn? Or do we say we'll cover a portion and invite people saying, well, we're going to provide this, or
right.
come down and get a meal? But... right now, it's just the use of the facility, so it's not necessarily the meal. So I don't know if we...
Dan had a longer conversation with that proprietor up there or not?
I all of a sudden heard other people talking about it, and I didn't remember who or why. So I'm asking because...
I think it was him.
Okay, so we need to kind of put it on him to plan.
We have to follow up and find out. Well, yeah, it'd be nice to put a flyer up at the two gas stations or something up there, too.
Yeah, and they have a Facebook community chat. Some stuff like that. So
mm-hmm. And something at the library, maybe?
Let's see. So we're 3 weeks out with no word going out yet.
Well, that's still plenty of time.
Absolutely.
We just need to get started.
True. I just want to bring it to our attention that we don't let that fall through the cracks.
Can you get that message to Dan? Yeah, it seemed like he was taking the lead on that, and if he's not, then one of us has to.
All right, so I'm not going to bug you further, I think. Let me just look at the... Yeah, so this afternoon is actually the Pacific Power meeting. I thought that was Thursday. Today is Thursday. Oops.
Things happen fast around here.
Just so you know, tomorrow, the GAO, which is the Government Accountability Office, or I don't something
government
like
affairs
that.
Officer or something.
United States.
Oh.
Federal agency is interviewing me regarding the Checo fire 2 years ago.
Huh?
I suggested they reach out to Commissioner Boyce in Curry County as well, but they wanted to kind of, they're now doing a review of the Checo fire 2 years ago. And it makes me wonder, will I remember everything from last summer by next year? If they're reaching out a year, 2 years later, it's like, oh, I had another fire.
There's another fire on top of that.
And I want to just report back as well. U.S. Forest Service has a new, all right, so we had a district ranger. He got put on different assignment. We had an, I don't remember what you call the internal, the interim, sorry.
Interim.
That word that was escaping me.
Found it.
Interim ranger, there's now a new interim ranger that'll be here for 60 days. And
for the state BLM?
U.S. Forest Service.
Oh, U.S. Forest Service.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I have a meeting set up with them. They want to do an extended breakfast of sorts and just sit down and talk local. So that's going to happen next month as well. So what I'm appreciating is U.S. Forest Service is being very intentional to communicate.
Yeah, and I'm starting to kind of feel that because they're not waiting for people to show up at their office and ask.
Correct. They've been reaching out
yeah.
to me. And
yeah.
and so I want to make sure I'm sharing that information as those questions come up so that I'm not the only one that knows that they're reaching out.
Right. Good.
So, all right. If there's nothing else, I should tell you I went to a Red Cross meeting last night. They had the CEO of the Cascade region there, which was California, Oregon, a little bit of Washington. They had board members from all over the state. Various groups and just kind of there. The most shelter deployments were in our area. They are looking at some blood shortfalls this summer. They provide 40% of the blood to the country as a nonprofit organization.
Wow.
And so I didn't know if we would be interested in hosting some blood drives. It's not a matter of anything but saying we'd be willing to do it by the space.
Yeah, I don't see why not, yeah.
And I figure we can recruit other people to
give
blood.
Do I have to go?
I was teasing. I can get other people to give blood, but I can't. So, all right. If there's nothing else, I think the next time we're back together is Tuesday afternoon. Council, so, if there's nothing further, we're adjourned at 10:17.